Hey there, I'm Sarah Duty, host of the Career Strategy Podcast. Many professionals are seeking more impact, flexibility, growth, and let's face it, getting paid what they're worth. But how do you unlock this in your career? It starts with strategy. I'm taking you behind the scenes of what's working for my career coaching clients. You'll hear strategies and actionable, yet sometimes against the grain, advice for how you can be the CEO of your career and stop dreading Mondays. Ready to level up your career? Let's get after it.
Hey y'all, Erin here. I am one of the CSL coaches, and today's podcast episode is a little bit different. We've actually gone ahead and taken one of our weekly Q&A calls from Career Strategy Lab, and we're bringing you in. Inside today's episode, you're gonna hear real questions and answers inside of Career Strategy Lab with two of our coaches, Steph and Becca, and of course, Sarah. This has been edited to take out any names, so if there's an awkward gap, that is why. But we hope you enjoy this and find it helpful, and hopefully it gives you a little sneak peek into what it's like inside of CSL. And of course, if you have any questions about joining us, you can always email admissions@sarahduty.com, and we are happy to answer any and all of your questions. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome everyone to our Q&A call. If you have a question, formulate it, and we are here to support you.
All right, let's dive into this. You said you work in a wet lab and not directly with people conducting interviews. You think I should still specify that further? That's a good question. I think that it's a question you should be able to be ready to answer in an interview. So if people say like, oh, tell me more about the research you did at Mount Sinai, you're going to have a great answer for that. I think to get into that in the compass statement may end up making this a little bit too long. But if research associate experience was very much like person to person type research, then I think it would be worth it to mention that briefly in the compass statement. But I don't think we need to, you know, explain like the wet lab in the compass statement. But let's be ready to explain that, you know, at a high level in an interview. Yeah. You have so much great experience though. And I think just by those tweaks, it's going to help you have that first one or two sentences, like give a lot more kind of punch and clarity to who you are and what you do. Awesome. Okay. I think that does it for your compass statement. Next up, we have...
I ask these questions before on resume. How many bullets are generally maximum? So this is a good question. In general, there really is no hard and fast rule here. So it depends on a few factors. I think one would be the overall, you know, context and content that you're sharing in your resume, because for some roles, it just might require more bullet points than, let's say, three. On the flip side, we do suggest that you have a minimum of 2 to 3 bullet points. If we see a role with one bullet point, we're going to suggest that you add to that and provide more context. But we've seen some work experience with, I would say, 7 bullet points, because sometimes it's just necessary because your role was more extensive. You have a lot of, you know, receipts, measurable data, outcomes, benefits, et cetera, to share. And it just simply can't be shared with less than that. So it's like a gut check and then a brain check to make sure that the space that you're taking up, if it seems excessive, is valuable, if that's really serving you, or if it could be trimmed to be more concise. So I think that's a long way of saying it really depends. And there is no set maximum number.
Is it okay if I provide a little extra context? I asked this question because like I said in the beginning, I was still I think that's like the most difficult part, just filling up the work experience on the resume part. But I have been slowly doing it. Like, on the contrary, my current experience, I had a lot to say. So I think I have like 4 bullets. I wasn't sure whether I would go more than that. That's why I initially asked that. But right now I stopped and went to the previous experience, which was in a design agency. And it's been a while. So like my memory has been a bit short, like going over my previous work. And then I realized because I was in the agency environment, like there was like not many measurable incomes that I got when I was in there or even after that I left. And it was like mostly B2B. So it's not all available in the public space. So like I was like getting a little short on what to write. So I think I had like about 2 bullets of what I have done. And I was like trying to squeeze my brain or struggling in a way to write more and was just curious what the best practice was.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm not sure. And remind me, did we tag you in the Circle post about writing action benefit statements for bullet points? Because I think that would help you. So that's the first thing. But also 2 is fine. I don't want you to make yourself crazy, you know, trying to find a third one. But the reason why I'm asking about the Circle post is that a lot of times we think we need these measurable outcomes. And of course, yeah, they're beneficial, but you could also sprinkle them throughout your resume. They don't have to be in every single bullet point, and you don't always need them in order to show the benefit and the outcome. So having 2 bullet points that maybe don't include any measurable outcomes or metrics, let's say, that could be just fine. It could be great, actually. So I, you know, it's understandable. Past work experience, sometimes we do struggle to remember what's going on. And in that case, you know, sometimes it veers in the territory of like sounding like a list of responsibilities. So we want to encourage you to not go that route, because that's, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap. So just making sure that if it's a long time ago and you're struggling to remember, we don't want to hear just responsibilities. We want to still provide outcomes that could be as simple as, you know, and I'll tag you in that post just in case, but it could be as simple as boosted client engagement or, you know, increased .. without putting an actual number to it. Does that answer?
Definitely, definitely. That's where I was like leaning towards, like making sure like I'm not just listing responsibilities. Like I said, I'm following the curriculum on the Google Docs right now. So I read those cautionaries, but makes sense. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Of course. And I just went ahead and tagged you in that post. So that's in Circle. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, guys. So my question is somehow related. I was about to ask, I'm working on my portfolio section and I have like big case studies. So actually I have 3 and I'm about to add another huge project, which I want to split into 2. So it goes up to 5 case studies, like 20, 30 slides each. Isn't it too big? Like what I wouldn't want to like overload the hiring managers or whoever is gonna go through that portfolio. So what are your thoughts about that? How many case studies we can go up to?
I don't think that there can really be a limit. I think it's gonna be really what you're trying to showcase and what you're trying to highlight in your portfolio. We've had people get hired with 1 great project in their portfolio, and that's more than enough to navigate the job market. Typically, though, we see people averaging about 2 to 3, but then the longer someone's career spans, they usually amass a few more. I've seen portfolios with 5, and then I've also seen people that have different types of portfolios. So if they're trying to really go towards a specific sector, and maybe they've worked in fintech, they have a portfolio that's all related to their time in fintech versus their time in edtech. So there really is no one-size-fits-all answer, as most things in CSL are not one-size-fits-all. It's going to be a judgment call on what feels best for you, but it is absolutely possible to get hired with 1 MVP portfolio project in your portfolio.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, of course.
I have a quick question about portfolio. I'm in the process. I kind of skipped ahead and was reviewing the curriculum because I'm in the process of potentially having an interview. And so I wanted to get like my slide deck ready. But if I were to submit a portfolio for review, would it be okay if I don't, because I feel like I already have something, and if I were to go back and redo, like, to include all the things that were included, it feels like I'm going a step backwards. I was just wondering if it's okay if I submit something for it to not follow 100% like the steps.
Yeah, so we do ask that if you're going to be submitting assets that you have gone through the curriculum, because that's what we critique on. We're critiquing your assets based on what we do here in CSL with the curriculum. So we've had people upload a portfolio that they did in a boot camp before they even touch the curriculum, and we just immediately send it back. And we're like, you got to at least make some progress through the curriculum, or utilize that template and kind of plug your information in there, because then it creates almost quadruple the work for us to go, hey, go back to the curriculum, look at this and do this, and then do this and then do this. Because the program is really meant to be like self-paced through the curriculum for you, implement those changes as it feels best for you and your asset. And then you provide it back to us, and we're just kind of reinforcing that and guiding and directing. Does that make sense?
That's right. But So I meant that, like, instead of like, I would look at what's in the curriculum and then like take out things that I don't think would be helpful.
If you want to, how you choose to showcase what's in your portfolio, that's your choice. But we could also give feedback when we see it and say, hey, we're missing this. We want to see a timeline. Hey, we're missing outcomes and lessons. So like, if something's removed and we think it's to your benefit to put it back in, don't be surprised if that's feedback we give, because we have done that before. Because it's all kind of about giving clarity through that process. But if you feel like, we talk a lot about the user research side. So sometimes when people are doing UX design, they're like, I didn't do any of the research. I don't really know how to speak to it. And they're like, I want to remove a couple of the slides. Maybe I'll just do one that says, you know, I worked with the user research department and then they provided me the research and then I went from there. Totally fine. Instead of doing, you know, I have these, I almost said user flows. It's not user flows, user personas. And then I talked to these people and I did 5 Zoom interviews. Like, maybe you cut out and trim out all that fat if it's not applicable for you. Absolutely okay, as long as it makes sense for your project.
Awesome. And then another question is, does anyone ever like do 2 options, one for interview and then one for like a full on portfolio slide? Because for interviews, I think you only get to go through 2 projects max.
Yeah, 100%. People will basically build out, kind of depends on your process, but I've seen people build out like a whole portfolio with all the details and all the slides. But then when they go to present it in an interview space, the company will say, hey, you've got 25 minutes to present. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and hide this slide. You know, I'm going to make these tweaks. So there are some changes that happen between, you know, the original MVP portfolio and what's presented in an interview. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's kind of like what we do with your resume. We're like, dump all the information on there possible. And then maybe for job X, you use this resume, and job Y, you tweak it and use this portfolio would be the same.
Got it. And then if you were to submit 2 options for review, would that count as 1 critique or that count as 2?
You have to submit 1 asset per submission and you can do 2 per week. So if you had 2 separate portfolio assets to submit, like version 1, version 2, that's 2 separate submissions, 2 items for the week.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Good questions.
I have a question, but this is more of a personal career question. Is that okay if I ask here?
Go for it.
My question is, if you were given, I know this current job market is a little crazy, but if you were given some options to take a job that is not really aligned to your future career goals versus to then just wait until you have like everything ready and then hopefully you would have more options, what would be the best? Yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. So to give a little more context, I have a friend that is about to spearhead, I don't know how much I can share, but they're in a car company and they're about to kind of revamp the whole branding and vision for these new series of EV cars that will be coming out in the next few years, and they are going to need to hire UX designers. one of the problems with that kind of space is that there isn't a lot of senior management support. And if I were to be hired for this position, I'll pretty much be the only UX designer in that space. And for me personally, I've worked in isolation the last few years because freelancing and all that stuff with a startup. And that is something that I'm really afraid to like go back into. And I really want to be on a team that's like, you know, has a more structured team with other designers and then other design leads that you can learn from. Yeah, I don't know. So if it goes well, sure, it'll be a really, really big career thing for me. But at the same time, if it doesn't, I will pretty much be in a company that will have nothing to show because we don't know if these things will be approved when there's no management support, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely does. All right, great question. Big question too. I don't think that this feels to me like something that let's talk about it a little bit right now. And then homework would be to kind of continue processing. And then if you can come to the mindset call tomorrow, I would highly recommend that because there's multiple sides to this and it's certainly not just strategic, but I think there's an element here that is, you know, there's some fear, there's uncertainty, right? There's things that are playing a part in your decision-making that are more along the lines of it's out of your control. And so our mindset is playing a part in here, you know, as far as determining whether or not this is the right step forward or, you know, something to not consider. This does definitely remind me of somebody, and I don't remember their name, but we had somebody in CSL who was making a choice to work for her brother. And it was not an ideal role, but it was, you know, there were pros and cons to the situation. And so, Elim, what I hear is that there's pros and cons to your situation as well. So this is going to be ultimately a personal choice and up to you, but we're here to, you know, talk you through some of the facets. The really big takeaway that I want to just offer up is to check in with yourself and make sure that you're not sacrificing what lights you up because you're afraid that options are limited. You know, on our side of things, I mean, we're continuously seeing people getting hired inside of CSL. There's possibilities. There's contract roles that turn into full-time. There's, you know, hourly roles that turn into salaried roles. There's things that happen overnight where one day you feel like there's nothing out there and I just got rejected all week. And then boom, something clicks into place. So I wouldn't step into this role if it's more of like a fear-based decision, right? We want to help empower you to make the decision confidently. But if there are pros that outweigh the cons, then certainly it could be the right choice for you. It sounds like so far in what you've shared that there's pieces that you would be sacrificing and, you know, your desire to work no longer solo and in isolation. It is, I mean, that's valid. That is valid. You also mentioned that there's not really any senior management support. So, you know, there's elements here that I think this is all information that you're processing and integrating so that you could really make a decision that feels correct for you. It's not the end all be all as well. I mean, we've seen people make decisions and take roles while still pursuing their ideal or dream role. So mm-hmm. There's also, you know, that loophole, so to speak. So I guess what I'm saying is in this moment, I cannot say what would be the best next step for you, but I hope that this is just kind of getting those juices flowing. And then we can certainly talk about it more tomorrow, because I think this is something to dive a little bit deeper in as far as like the mindset parts of it go.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you. It's helpful.
Okay, great. And I see Steph put a note in the chat as well. So Strategy side of me says, take the job, get experience and things to create and add to your portfolio. Mindset side of me says, for what? If isolation and risk are not what you want to move forward, maybe moving towards this position is not for you. And continued conversations, reflection, thinking about what this would look like short-term and long-term. So yeah, I mean, this is for anyone, because I'm sure that this is not happening in isolation. Sure, there's plenty of people who might be listening to this recording later or who are even here right now on the call and have moved through a similar situation. It's always helpful to, you know, if you're interested, which it sounds like you are, to hear other people's experiences and feedback. And as you're moving forward with this too, if you find it's helpful to share this inside of Circle, you can bring it to Circle as well, because like I said, other people, you know, your professional peers who might have been through something similar that could be valuable there too. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. We will hopefully see you tomorrow on the Mindset Call, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to the Career Strategy Podcast. Make sure to follow me, Sarah Duty, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or LinkedIn. If anything in today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear about it. Tag me on social media or send me a DM. And lastly, if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend or give us a quick rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. Catch you later.